and again. Probably another time after that. Anybody else like that? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. There's a couple. I'm not totally alone. As you remember, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that there's a few. I looked through my Bible. I looked through the New Testament. I was just curious to see if I had preached from every book in the New Testament. And I found out that there were two books that I hadn't preached from. One of them was Titus, and the other one is Philemon. And one of the ways I know that is because I always highlight stuff that I preach. My book is full of marks and underlines and circles and highlights of all different colors. You look it up and you see the whole rainbow in there. Anybody ever had one of those rainbow Bibles? There's a thing out there called a rainbow Bible. I used to have one. I'm not sure. I think I gave it to somebody. But it's every portion of Scripture is highlighted a certain color depending on its significance. You know, whether it had to do with Jesus, whether it had to do with prophecy, you know, those types of things. And that was a really interesting Bible. So if you want something like that, just look for the rainbow Bible, and it'll be a blessing to you, help you give you some understanding, you know, different areas that it's talking about. But anyway, I just now, because a couple weeks ago I preached one verse from the book of Titus, so now I can lay the claim that I have preached from the book of Titus. It was just one verse. But as I read through the book of Philemon, which I don't know if you can even call it a book. It's only one chapter. It was really a letter that Paul had written to his friend Philemon. And as I read through this, I'm like, wow. Questions started to pierce my soul. And almost with every verse, just a different question came to mind. And so I'm going to read it real quick, and then I'm going to go through and just offer these same questions to you that I felt the Spirit speaking to me. Philemon, verse 1, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Agrippus, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord and toward all saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the age, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. It's just before the book of Hebrews, if that helps anyone. I hear a lot of pages still. I had a hard time finding it myself. The book just before Hebrews. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in chains, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus. That sounded almost like a Mr. Righteous. Demas, Luke. I'm so thankful that there's guys in the Bible called Mark and Luke and John. These other guys are tough. My fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this letter to Philemon. And I trust, God, that what you have to speak to us today will be just as powerful and real. And so, Lord, I ask that you will bless it. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, just a little backdrop. What's going on here is Onesimus was a slave. He belonged to Philemon. But he ran away, and apparently he may have stolen something from Philemon when he did run away. Now, if you know anything about the Roman culture in that day, Onesimus should have been put to death. That's what they did to slaves that run away, especially a slave that stole something and then run away. And so here Paul is making a plea to Philemon, not only to put him to death, but to receive him in love and to look to him as a brother in the Lord, not just a slave. And wow, what a different message that is compared to the times. And if you think about our culture today, what culture says we should do with this one and what we should do with that one. And the bottom line is, Jesus Christ wants us to love every single one of them. He wants us to lead them to him, and he wants us to forgive them as he has forgiven them. He wants us to show grace and mercy upon those who have done wrong, even those who perhaps have stolen from us. And that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? Sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do. But you know what? Through the grace of God, we all can do that. Now, I'm looking at the clock. I got like 15 minutes. And I got a lot of questions. A lot of questions that touch my heart. And I want to ask these questions to you. Verse 1 says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so the first question you see there, whose prisoner are you? Are you a prisoner of Jesus Christ? If you look up the word prisoner, it means, you know, a bond servant. We are enslaved. And I find it very interesting that Paul, who now is appealing to Philemon to have mercy on this slave, is declaring, you know what? I'm a slave too. But I'm not a slave to this world, and I'm not a slave to any man on this world. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. I'm his prisoner. And so ask yourself, are you a prisoner of the world? Does the world have you in bondage? Does it have you in captivity? Or is your sole proprietor Jesus Christ and none else? If Jesus owns you, nobody else can have any authority over you, can they? You see, when you're a slave master, when you're a slave owner, you have complete authority over that slave. Philemon could have, and rightfully, according to the law of that day, taken Onesimus and done whatever he wanted to with him. Are we that kind of a prisoner of Jesus Christ? That's my question. Whose prisoner are you? To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Next question, what atmosphere is in your house? It says, to the beloved Apphia, our Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Philemon had a church in his house. What do we have in our houses? What's the atmosphere in your house? If somebody comes to your house, would they feel like they have been to church? That's a good question. Paul was making recognition here. You know what? I'm greeting you, but I'm also greeting the church that is in your house. Third question. What do you wish upon others? Here Paul says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we wishing upon one another? You know, I'm sure we've all had times where we've had that person in our life where we just kind of wish a little bit of harm, maybe. There's that song out there. I laugh when I hear it. That song that says, "I'm praying for you." Some of you may have heard it. It's about this couple that got separated or divorced or whatever, and the husband or the wife goes to the preacher and says, "I don't know what to do. I'm having a hard time forgiving them." And the preacher says, "Well, just pray for them." And so then they go on to pray. Pray that the flower pot falls on their head. Pray that their brakes go out when they're going down a hill. Pray, "I'm praying for you." Yeah. What do you wish on others? It's a country song for those of you who are not familiar with it. You play it backwards? Amen. Let's wish good things for one another. Look at your neighbor and say, "Grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace." Amen. Another question. Who are you praying for? Paul says in verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." Making mention of you always in my prayers. Who are you praying for? I want to ask you, just, are you praying? Do you make it, on our Wednesday night group, my favorite steps talks about daily time with God, daily time in His Word, and praying. But who are you praying for? Are you praying for somebody? Is it always just about you? "Oh God, I need money. Oh God, I need a new car. Oh God, I need this and I need that." Or is it prayers for somebody else? You reap what you sow. You pray for others, others will be praying for you. You know that? If you only pray for yourself, guess what? You're only going to get yourself. Who are you praying for? Verse 5 says, "Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. The question that came out of my heart was this: is your love for God and others such that it is heard of about you behind your back? Paul says, "I heard of your love for the Lord and for the saints." Are we such a people that when people talk about us, how many know people talk about us? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, there's people talking about us, right? But what are they saying? Are they talking about how much you love God and how much you love other people? Is that what they're hear? Is that what you would hear of the conversations that go on behind your back? If not, then let's think about that. Let's realize, God's got a different plan for us. He's got a better way for us. We should be the type of people that when people are talking behind our backs about us, they're talking about there's somebody who loves God. There's somebody who loves people. Verse 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And so the question that comes to mind is, the sharing of your faith effective and an acknowledgement of what Christ has done in you? This is one of the things I pray often. God, please help me make a difference. I want to have an impact on people. A good impact on people. We all have an impact on people, right? But I want to have an impact on people that is effective for Jesus. And really a testimony or an acknowledgement of what God has done in my life. And so when you go out there to witness or to share or to love or to do whatever it is God has called you to do, do it in such a way that it exemplifies what Christ has done in your life. Not what you have done, but what Christ has done in you. We've all heard people, "Well, I did this and I did that and I did the other thing. And ain't I great?" We've all heard that. And you know what? A lot of times that turns us right off, doesn't it? But when it's something that Jesus has done in you, that's different. People want to hear what Jesus has done in you. You want your witnessing to be effective? Tell them what Jesus has done in you. I've shared my testimony many times. I was this, I came to Christ, And now I'm something very much different. And if my wife were here, she'd say, hallelujah. Is your sharing effective and a true acknowledgement of what Christ has done in you? Verse 7 says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Excuse me. We have great joy and consolation because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. And so the question is, are the people around you refreshed as a result of spending time with you? You ever been in the presence of that one person and it's just like, wow, they drained me today? You've been there, haven't you? We've all done that. And perhaps we've done that to others as well. It's like, you know, we come along. I get this all the time. People, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm a good listener. I don't know. But I had this happen even just yesterday. Somebody just, they come along and they just vent it. And, you know, sometimes when people do that, just listen. They don't need you to fix anything. They don't need you to do anything. Just listen. And when they walk away, they're going to be refreshed because they spent a few moments with you. Because they were able to just unload it all. But when they're unloading it all on you, you're walking away like, wow, that was a lot. And you know, there's things you can do to avoid being pulled down by everybody else's problems. And I suggest you do that. Understand your limits. Understand, you know, where your life ends and somebody else's life begins. And, you know, you got to have boundaries, but, you know, be there and listen, but you don't have to carry that load away with you. When somebody vents on you, you don't have to take all that and carry it away. What I like to do with it is I take it and I say, oh, well, that was a lot. Here, Jesus, this is what's going on. Give it to him. But you know what? Be the type of person that when people around you, they're refreshed when they leave. Anybody know somebody like that? That's a wonderful time, isn't it? You want to be around that person more. You want to do things better, do things more with that person because it's refreshing to be around them. Verses 8 and 9 says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you. And so the question is, do you use your position to rule over others or in humility make requests of others? You know, I learned this as a leader in the workplace. I've never asked anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. But the other thing of it is, you know, if you make demands and commands and that's all you do, Paul here had authority. He was the father in the Lord, so to speak. He had won Philemon to the Lord, and he makes mention of that later. And he had won Onesimus to the Lord. So he's kind of like the spiritual leader. And he said, you know what, I could command you, I could be bold and tell you what's right to do, but you know what? Rather, for love's sake, I want to make an appeal to you. You know, sometimes it's more important to give somebody the option. Hey, you know what? Here's the right thing to do. It's on you. Would you like to do it? I'm not going to force you to do it. I'm not going to say, well, if you don't do this, then here's the consequence. But no. You know what? I have to give you, as a pastor, I have to give you the opportunity to follow Christ for you. I can preach here all day long and say, this is what you should do, and this is what you should not do, and sometimes I do that probably. But the bottom line is this. In love, I need to appeal to you. Follow Christ. It's your choice. This is what I believe is right, but it's your choice. I appeal to you. Rather than just lord over you, as the pastor of this church, I command you, get up here and you pray. Because I know that's the right thing to do. I hope you do that sometime. But that's your choice. I'll give you opportunity. Whether you take it or not, that's on you. Those types of things. Another question. Do you tend to see the good things in others, or do you hold grudges against them? Verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. You see, Paul here, he saw the good in Onesimus. He had Onesimus, somehow the two of them had gotten together, and Paul led him to the Lord. And it was a situation where Paul could have condemned him. Paul could have said, what? You're my friend's slave, and you stole from him and you ran away? You're on your way to jail, buddy. He could have did that. But rather, instead, he witnesses to him, apparently, wins him to the Lord, and now he recognizes him as somebody who is profitable, somebody who is good to be around. Isn't that wonderful that God does that with us? And so what do we do with people that other people? Do we see the good things in others, or do we hold grudges against them? Guaranteed, there's people, everybody here probably has somebody that if we chose, we could hold a grudge against. Let me encourage you. And you know what? You don't always have to wait for them to come to the Lord to be forgiving and loving and kind. In fact, it's probably better if you don't. You know, if somebody doesn't get saved, well, you know, like Paul, while Onesimus got saved, it's easy to forgive him and see the good in him. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The most hardened criminals, there's good in everybody somewhere. It's in there. You know why? Because God says that he wrote his law in our hearts, which means there's something of God in everybody's heart, whether they want to recognize it or not. And when you're out witnessing to that hardcore non-believer, just remember that there's a part of God in there, and pray that God will shine that light in that heart right there so that perhaps their ears will open and their eyes will see. But find the good in people and don't hold grudges. Verses 12 through 16 says, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. You know, that was a good thing, too, that God seemed, or Paul was able to recognize there's a purpose. How many know there's a purpose in everything? All things work together for good for those who love the Lord according to his purposes. And so Paul recognized maybe the reason why he ran away was just for this simple purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And so the question is, do you follow the pattern of reconciliation as Scripture teaches? We have all been offended at some point in time. I probably have offended somebody here this morning. I don't know. I tend to do that a lot of times without even knowing it. If you're offended this morning, I'm sorry. Please let me know that. I've had people think that I said something or put intent in words that I didn't have and then leave and not ever say anything, but then never come back. I never want that to happen. And so if you're ever offended by me or by anybody else, please go to them. And so the question is, do you follow the pattern of reconciliation as Scripture teaches? You might be like, well, what is the pattern of reconciliation as Scripture teaches? Well, let me show you. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 16. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You don't have to get everybody involved. If you got a problem with somebody, go talk to them. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. You know, it's like that principle. How many of you ever seen a couple of kids in school that just fought and fought and fought, and then once they really finally had the fight, they became best friends? I saw that happen. Me and a bunch of kids, me and my cousin and a bunch of kids, we used to hang out with lions when we were young teenagers. And, of course, the Lions group didn't like the Waterloo group, and so we were always at each other's necks. Well, one night we finally decided we're going to have this out. We went down to this park, and these two guys got in the middle, and they were going to go at it, right? And so they started, and they grabbed each other, and it lasted like 2 seconds. They grabbed each other, and they both fell on the ground, and then the cop showed up. As soon as the cop showed up, everybody scattered into the woods. There was woods right there. Man, you want to see, it's like you flip a light on, you know, cockroaches, we were gone. After that two-second fight, things you might hear in church. After that two-second fight, we all got together and we were best friends after that. The Lions crew found some kind of a love for the Waterloo crew and vice versa, and it was just... So go to your brother. If he hears you, you've gained a friend. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more. One or two more. Don't get the whole church riled up yet. Just be calm. Let's talk this out. We can work this out. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And you know what? That protects both sides. You take a couple of neutral people. In fact, you can say to your friend that you're a friend offended with, you bring somebody and I'll bring somebody. That way there's a little bit of neutrality there. And talk it out, because guess what? Maybe you're wrong. Maybe the other person is right. And let the words be heard, and it'll be figured out. And if that don't work, then you take another step. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be to you as a heathen man and a tax collector. Some people are just stubborn. And they just won't listen to their friends. They won't listen to the church. What do you do with that person? Well, love you, brother, but I guess we're going to have to part ways for a season, whatever. I don't know. I like the first part of that, though. Just go to him alone. Work it out. 99 of 100 times, you'll be able to do it right then and there. And so that's the pattern. So the question, like Paul, do you follow the pattern of reconciliation as Scripture teaches? You know, Paul hears, he says, I'm sending him back to you. Paul's like, he wasn't like, well, I'm coming with him to prove his point. No, I'm sending him back to you. You guys work it out. Paul understood. In fact, he wrote it in a couple of his letters. He understood how to reconcile with people who have been offended. And so verse 17 now, if you then count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. And so the question is, do you put yourself above others, or do you look at others as equals? This is one of the things that I really try to do here. Yeah, I'm the pastor, but you know what? I'm not above anybody here. Truth of it is every single one of you could be doing the same thing I'm doing right now. And some of you would be like, no way. Yeah, you could. You could. And you know what? There are times when I need to do the things that you guys do. I had a blast serving at lunch. In fact, if you go on the volunteers at the lunch program, I made cookies for the first time in my life the other day. I walk in and I'm like, what do I do? And the girls are like, well, right there's the stuff and there's the recipe. Get a bowl and mix it together. Okay. I said, hope my wife don't see me doing this. She caught me. Thank God she came along, because you ever try to mix kind of hard butter with a spoon and stuff? It just wasn't working. So I'm trying to mash it and all this stuff. And my wife's like, would you put that spoon down and get your fingers in there and knead it together? I'm like, oh, that worked much better. Are you equal with us? Paul said, receive him as you would me. Put him on the same level. Here's a slave, a runaway slave who was also a thief. And he said, you know what? Receive him as you would me. Put him on equal terms. And that's a good thing. When you're out ministering to the lost, I want you to understand something. When you're out ministering to the lost, don't put yourself above them. Do you know why I go out to the Seneca County Jail? Because I don't want them to think that, oh, he's so high and mighty, he won't come here. Yeah, I'll go there. I'll go right in there, and I'll sit down, and I'll talk with them, and I'll pray with them. And I encourage, and Troy, he's picked up, and it's awesome, isn't it? Just to go out there and love people at their level. Bring them up and try to bring them up to the level of Christ. You know what? There isn't anybody out there that doesn't have the potential to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. Every single one of them. And so love people at the same level that you are loved, on equal grounds with the Lord. Verses 18 and 19. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing in my own hand, I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. You know, So the question is, how far will you go to stand up for your brothers and sisters? You know, that thing at the end where Paul says, not to mention that, you know, you owe me your life. Paul said that not in the sense that, you know, I'm going to hold that over you. He said that in the sense that I'm not asking you to do this because you owe me. But what I'm asking you to do here is that, you know what, if he owes you something, put it on me. I'll pay it for him. What a Christ-like spirit. Do we have a Christ-like spirit when we deal with one another? Jesus said to the Father, they have sinned, I will pay. Paul's saying to Philemon, this brother stole from you, I will repay. How far will you go? How far will you stand up for your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Heard an awesome testimony the other day of this young lady who's sitting in court watching somebody else, and then there's a fine to be paid. She says, you know what? I'll pay that for them. That's awesome. That's the spirit of Christ in that. Now, obviously, we could, but we probably shouldn't go down to the jail and say, okay, let all these people go. We'll pay their... Probably shouldn't do that, but you know what? There's more that we can do for some, right? You know somebody that's indebted somehow, and there's no way they can take care of it. Sometimes it's good for us to step up to the plate and say, you know what, let me help you with that. I find that to be a very Christ-like spirit. Verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. And so can those around you trust that you will be a source of joy and refreshing for them. Paul says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Can you be trusted to be a source of joy and refreshing for others? I hope so. It goes along with what I was talking about earlier, you know, how people see you, what they say about you behind your back. But can you be trusted to be a source of joy? There are people in my life that I am so glad God put them in my life. They bring me joy. They make me laugh. They refresh my soul. Some of you, I'm not going to name any names, but some of you are on that list. The truth of it is, there's a few here that I've never met before, but I get joy just because you came here today. And that brings me joy. You know, when I see new people, even perfect strangers, I get joy because I believe that God put them in my life for the purpose of them finding him, of you finding Jesus. I count it a joy when God gives me an opportunity to just witness to somebody, whoever, whether it's somebody I've known all my life or whether it's somebody I just met. It's a joy. But you know, we as believers, there's a couple different kinds of believers out there. I have an example in my head, but I'm not going to share it. But anyway. How many know, let's say there's a workplace, okay? And there's maybe two believers in the workplace. One of the believers walks in, and everybody in the workplace is like, oh, boy. Yeah, there he is again. Mr. Bible Thumper. Going to shove it down our throat again today. Yeah. But then maybe when the other believer comes in, they're like, man, I'm glad you're here. Let me tell you what's going on in my life, because I got something going on and I know that you'll pray for me, those types of things. You know, there's two different kinds of people as believers. And so, are we a source of joy and refreshing for others? Or are we the type that when people see coming, they're like, okay, let's go over this way. Just a thought. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. And so the question is, can those around you trust that you will do the right things and even more than what's expected? You know, God is counting on us as believers to do the right thing. Do you know that? Each and every day, each and every moment, each and every circumstance, God wants us to do the right thing. Are we doing the right thing? And if not, why not? Let me encourage you. Get busy about doing the right thing. We find it all too easy to do the wrong thing, don't we? But let's do the right thing. And then even more. I love the guy that says, hey, you know what? Let me come over and drive you to dinner. That was awesome. And then after dinner, don't worry, brother, I'll pay for it. This happened to me recently. What a blessing. Went this far, but then even went farther than even expected. That is awesome. Are you like that? Can you be like that? You know, somebody's out and their lawnmower's broke down. Hey, I got a lawnmower that runs. You want mine? Oh, never mind. I'll just come over and do it for you. Isn't that awesome? Anybody like people like that? Hallelujah. Can you be trusted to be that type of person? To do the right thing when it's the right thing to do, and to do even more than what's expected? You know what? Here's another example. By the way, in this example, I need somebody who's capable of going to Living Center North on Sunday mornings and pick up Don Ward and bring him over here. He's in a wheelchair. He can get around a little bit. He can get himself out of the wheelchair. I mean, you might want to steady him, make sure he gets in the car. But you need to be able to throw his wheelchair in the car and bring him over here. And if the wheelchair is an issue, we got one here. So he could leave it there and we'll get him out of the car and bring him in. But if there's anybody that's willing to pick up Don every Sunday morning, bring him to church and take him back to the Living Center, please let me know. He is just aching to come to church, and we haven't been able to secure him a ride. And so just that's a thought that I had. But in that thought, I mean, here's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to be at church on Sunday morning, right? And the extra mile is to pick somebody up on your way. Somebody else that go a little bit beyond just showing up for church. Do even more than what's expected. Bring somebody with you. Find somebody who needs a ride. Bring them along. Just a couple simple things. Number 22. Verse 22. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Oh, wait a minute. Back up. You thought you could. Did I do? All right, I did that. Yeah, verse 22. Prepare a guest room for me. I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Here's the question. Have you surrounded yourself with the kinds of friends that will pray for you? That will and do pray for you? Have you surrounded yourself with those kind of people? Paul says, I prepare a guest room for me because I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted. How many know it's important to have people in your life that pray for you? To surround yourself with people that will pray for you? I have a new example, and I'm running late, but I'm dying to share this example. Lord gave me this illustration the other day of the people you hang around with and the type of influence that they have on you. Surround yourself with people of prayer. Let's say you have a bowl with a block of ice in it, and you have a bowl of water. And you take that block of ice and that bowl of water, and you take it to the North Pole where it's freezing. What's going to happen? The bowl of water is going to freeze, and you're going to have two blocks of ice. Okay, you take that same block of ice and that same bowl of water, and you take them to Florida. What's going to happen? You're going to have two bowls of water. So what's that say to me? What that says to me is that your environment matters upon who you are. You put yourself in an environment where there's no God, and guess what? You'll be a person with no God. You put yourself in an environment where God is, and guess what? You will be a godly person. It's that simple. surround yourself with people that will pray for you. Why is my life such a mess? Because nobody's praying for you, because you haven't put yourself in an environment where people will pray for you. Just a thought. I'm going to use that at the jail. I'm going to use that at Celebrate Recovery. Hope you liked it. Verse 23 and 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark and Artie, Demas, Luke, and my fellow brothers. What's it say, my fellow prisoner in Christ? What's the question for verse 23? Are you the kind of friend that people like to make loving mention of you when talking to others? That's verses 23 and 24. My fellow prisoner in Christ, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do all these other guys. Paul makes mention of all these other guys. He didn't have to mention those people. He could have just greeted them on his own. But no, he mentions all these other guys. Are you one of those other guys that your life has such an impact on others that they're going to mention you when they talk to others? Think about that. You know what? Most of us are probably such that people, when they're talking to others, they will mention us. But will they mention us in a loving way? Just a thought. Are you that kind of friend? You know, you ever get together with your buddies and you remember one of your friends and maybe they're not there. It's like, oh, you know, I wish he was here. Let me tell you what's going on. You know, what I heard is going on in his life. And make loving mention. Are you that kind of person? That's how people talk about you. You know, these are just self-examination questions. That's what all of this is. And then finally, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so the final question I have here, and again, as I mentioned earlier, my Bible's highlighted, circled, underlined, all that stuff. This morning, as you saw when I pulled this out, I just took it and I circled the whole thing. Because the Lord spoke these questions in my heart with each verse. It's like, wow. And so the last verse, is your spirit filled with the grace of Jesus Christ? How do you know if your spirit is filled with the grace of Jesus Christ? How do you think of others? How do you treat others? What do people think of you? What do people say about you? You know, Paul, he encourages Philemon there, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I think Paul was very brilliant in this letter to Philemon as he is making a plea for Philemon to accept this slave back into, and not kill him, but accept him back into his life. You know, the very first verse, Paul says, I'm Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he's putting himself at the level of a slave. But then at the end, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be in your spirit. And kind of what he's saying is, you know what? We're all prisoners in one form or another. May you have grace in your spirit the same way as grace, God has grace in ours in order to receive our brother Onesimus back into your family, back into your home. I think Paul was very, if you read this and you read between the lines a little bit, you can see that Paul was really appealing to a Christ-like spirit, to a spirit of grace in Philemon in order to get him to receive. He was going out on a limb. He didn't know, other than the fact that he had apparently spent time with Philemon and knew his character, he didn't know exactly what Philemon was going to do when he said, you know what, I'm sending them back to you. But he trusted that the Spirit of Christ that was in Philemon would do the right thing and receive Brother Onesimus back into his care, not as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. That's God's grace. That's a powerful grace where somebody should have died. Now they live and thrive alongside. Isn't that awesome? And that's the same type of love that God has for you and I. And again, I apologize for going a little late today. I pray that God will give you the spirit of grace. But just these questions, these simple questions to ask ourselves once in a while. Am I in an environment that is conducive to God's blessings and people praying for me? Am I the type of person that when I walk into the room, people are refreshed and they find joy? Am I the type of person that will extend grace to those who've wronged me? You know, all of these things, these are good questions. Am I the type of person that will do the right thing and even more? Isn't that awesome to think about? Stand with me and we'll pray and close this up. By the way, if you're a visitor here, I apologize for running so late. We're usually done a little sooner. But God bless you. I hope that you have felt God's presence here this morning. We're glad that you have come. Don't leave this place without greeting somebody. That's for everybody. Just shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck. Love one another in the Lord. But God, we look at this passage of Scripture. We've looked at every verse and we've asked ourselves a question with each one. Help us, God, to be the people that you desire for us to be, loving and kind, gracious, full of joy, refreshing to one another, loving one another. Because we recognize, God, that we are your prisoners and we serve you with joy, oh God, knowing that you paid our debt. And so bless each one here today, oh God, that we would take a true look at who we are on the inside, who we are on the outside, who we are in the eyes of those around us. God, help us to walk in paths of righteousness. Forgive us all our sin. Put your spirit within, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.